One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Baltimore, I'm coming home. We're going to wrap the Live and Alive tour up Saturday, June 28th at the Horseshoe Casino. It's going to be a great night. I got Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock going to be out there with me. We're going to have some surprises. It's going to be a really big deal. Get your tickets now at RyanSickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler. Want to start this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you for watching this show, supporting this show. Thank you for supporting anything I do. All right, come see me. If you're in Baltimore, it's the last show on the Live and Alive tour, Saturday, June 28th. I'm at the Horseshoe Casino. Tickets are flying right now. Let's lock it down and do it right. All right, that's it. You know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest here. First time on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Owen. Welcome to the Honeydew, Gary Owen.
Thank you. Thanks for getting my name right. I appreciate that, Ryan.
You got it, man. I appreciate you not right there just saying Brian.
It was too easy. That was like Comedy 101. I don't want to do that.
So before we get into that story and any other stories, plug, promote, all, everything, books, pods, shows, tours, all of it.
We'll
socials.
My latest special is on mintcomedy.com. So we went a different route with this one. I think people are so conditioned to getting everything free, you know, which I understand. But I was like, it is nice to have something exclusive. So I was like, this streaming company, Mint Comedy, they's like, yo, you want to put it on our platform? And basically, they rent it for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then I get it back and I figure out what I'm going to do with it. So it's on there. It's good. $13. You got it for the rest of your life.
Okay, so it's exclusive for 90 days, and then it goes to wherever you want.
Yeah, wherever
you want. Your YouTube, a Hulu, or whatever after. Yep. Okay, yep. All right.
So it's all nothing you've seen before. Mm-hmm. So it's I think it's the greatest special of all time. So
hey, what you're supposed to.
You know what I mean?
You're supposed to.
If you guys ever wonder what it's like to see LeBron practice.
Your shirt looks like that. He's just
pretty
out there with the headband,
you know what I mean?
Sprinting up.
Yeah. You want to get run over by Ray Lewis?
I always laugh if like people say it when a quarterback's like, yeah, I think I'm the best quarterback in the league. Like, if my guy doesn't think that, what the fuck I want him from?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm all right. I'm like, what? What
if
are you talking about,
kicker
man?
Doesn't get the best massages? What are we talking about
you
right
mean
now?
Our old kicker? You mean our old kicker?
He going to get a job.
Our old kicker.
That's somebody going to get a job.
See, he's definitely getting a job. Yeah. He's definitely getting a job.
Everybody, it's funny how when it comes to football, people are on these moral high grounds. And then there's going to be somebody that loses a game or two because they're a kicker. And they'll be like, Justin Tucker's sitting there? Bring the masseuses to
He's
him.
Loose and ready, too. Yeah, you know right? what I'm saying? He's all massaged up.
Kind of makes sense why he missed some of them kicks last year. He knew this was coming.
It was all mental.
Yeah, this was not just happening.
Nope.
It was
he knew.
It's similar to it's so funny you're a sports fan, so am I. But when Bengals drafted Joe Mixon from Oklahoma – and he wanted that video out of him punching that girl in Denny's his freshman year.
Yeah,
though it was 3 years old. He was 18 years old when it happened. And there was so much more of that story can we find out. Like, she was wilding, spitting on him and stuff. And then I remember when the Bengals drafted, and there was people in Cincinnati, like, that's it. I'm gone. Not watching the team tomorrow. Let that son of a bitch score 2 touchdowns.
Think
like this.
Right?
Yo, we're going to Denny's. We're protesting. Panera Bread from now on. McAllister's. What are you doing?
That's so true, dude. real quick, getting your name right. So I saw you outside and I was like, listen, I've been waiting for this a lot. You know, it's funny. One of the things, I'm 52. Mm-hmm. One of the things in life, it's taken me a while and I still don't trust it all the way, but I should, is 9 times out of 10, shit's going to handle itself. It's going to mm-hmm. come full circle sooner or later.
Yeah.
A lot of times later. And I waited for this moment. It's probably, God, I can't even remember. This is, we're at the old Improv, the before they moved it to the big one, you know?
Yeah.
Dan Godfrey's GM back then. Okay. And
jeez, that's got to be 2000.
Maybe. That's what I'm saying. It's probably, I was going to say it wasn't 99, but it's probably about 2000, 2001. You're headlining. I'm MC for the weekend. And I was never, I'm not a rah-rah guy. You know, you used to have to do that shit when you come up, but I was never a guy that was like, let's get him going. I was never that guy. And I went up, I was excited to work with you because I knew you were Marine.
Navy.
Yeah. That's right. And thank you for your service.
Appreciate it.
And I go up confident as shit, and I introduce you as Greg Owen. Now, I know everybody, I was so focused on not saying Owens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because isn't that one of your specials, too?
Yeah, is, No S. That's the one that's out right now. That's it. No Make S. Comedy. Yeah.
I was so focused on that. Called you Greg. And I fucking was. And I knew when it came out, I was like, oh, and you got up there. And you did, like I said, exactly what you should have. And I walked to the back of the room and I turned around. I said, I'm just going to fucking stand here and take it. And I mean, for a good 2 minutes, you ripped me. I mean, you shit all over me. And I loved every second of it. And I never fucked anybody's name up after that either, I tell you.
There's a blessing in disguise.
Got me right in the fucking shape, bro.
Now, how long had you been doing stand-up up to that point?
Oh, man. 2 years.
Oh, yeah. That's nerve-wracking, though, because you're so like, God, I want them to laugh. And had you hosted a lot before?
Hell no. Because that's what they started me. So I had gotten into the Improvs, and it was like, all right, you're going to host a lot of these shows. So I would get booked by them to come down and do a weekend. And they wouldn't never care about pairing the MC with the headliner.
Yeah.
We did work, our comedy worked well together. I just fucked your name.
Yeah,
up.
And that's an easy name.
I only
Ryan.
Fucked it up on Thursday, bro. Ryan, just so you know, I got
Gary
it right.
Owen is so easy.
This is how old it was back in the day. I got it right. The 2 shows Friday, the 3 Saturday, remember? Yeah. They used to do a 7, 9, 11. They don't do that 11 much anymore. And then we did a Sunday too. I got it right the rest of the weekend.
God, you got lucky. Can you imagine at that stage you're nervous? You got a Chris D'Elia. I can't imagine you did with his last name. Chris Delilah. Chris Delildo. Thank God. I only had 2 syllables.
Yeah, I got it wrong, bro. All right. You're a Cincinnati guy, born and raised. Is that right?
Huge.
I see. I follow. I know. You're AFC North. I watch. Yeah. I watch your shit.
I'm all Cincinnati, though. Like, we get a boxer comes out of there. We had like some girl on the Olympic volleyball team. I was like, yeah, I'm all about the
I'm
the
like
USA
that with
Olympics.
Maryland and Baltimore. A buddy of mine's like, you know, we got a guy riding one of Baffert's horses in the Kentucky. I was like, let me put that. He's from Maryland. Let me put that motherfucker on.
Watching curling at the Olympics. Yeah. This guy, the way he does this shit.
Is your family from there? Like, do you have roots going back in Cincy? Or?
Yeah, everybody.
So tell me about your family. Tell me about your mom and your dad.
Mom and dad had me in high school.
They did.
Yep. My dad confirmed it one day. Why'd he share that with me? I was conceived in the back of a car. When I was young, he shared a little too much to like a 10-year-old. So the fact that I always knew where I was conceived.
Like he told you literally?
This is what he said.
Tell me what
he
said.
Listen, man. I just want to say, your mom wasn't a hoe. Okay. I think it might have been the first. But yeah, Colerain High School parking lot.
What? Wait, he's saying it like it's a badge of courage.
Yeah, like, it was a wild night. So I did the math. My birthday's in July, August, September, October. Homecoming, baby. Right here.
Your homecoming.
They had
baby.
A good
in the
night.
Park,
that
they
night.
Went right outside. They couldn't even wait.
Yeah. My dad, which we don't really talk anymore, but when we did, he was really funny. Because I remember one time he told me, he goes, Gary, man, when I was in high school, he'd say dumb shit. He goes, I don't know why these girls like me, man. I ain't got no money. I just got a big ass dick. I was like, damn, 12. But I can't wait to hit puberty. Hopefully that doesn't skip a generation.
I hope it's genetic.
Hope it's not like balding. Where you skip a generation? I go, I hope them dicks just keep slanging.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I got a big ass dick.
Wait, so how old are they when they have you? High school, but are
17, 18.
That's young. Yeah, it's super young. 17, yeah. 18, man. So their parents in high school. Are you their only child?
Yeah, I got seven brothers and sisters. They're all half.
Okay. But none for how many from mom and how many from dad?
My dad had two girls. He had twin girls I was 18, 19 when they were born. So I was never raised with them.
Okay.
And then my mom had three. And then we also had I had a stepsister from my stepdad that was with us. So that's where the seven came from. So four. Wait, is my math right? There was five in the trailer park. There's seven total, so six. Sorry.
All right, six. So your parents, they were never married or anything then? Or
I think
they got
married because that's what you did back then, right. They said. And then my dad joined the Navy, got stationed in San Diego. So I was born in Cincinnati. I think my first 7-8 months I was in Cincinnati. Then I was in San Diego for 2 years. I don't remember it. 1 to 3. And then found out later my dad got kicked out of the Navy and – He told him, fly me back to Ohio, not San Diego. So me and my mom, I guess that was his way of saying we're getting a divorce.
Wait, hold up.
He just took himself. He just took himself to Ohio. We drove. Now, you don't have memories till you're 3 or 4, right? Yeah. Literally the first thing I remember in my life is we had a Volkswagen Bug and there was a balloon in it. And I remember riding with my mom in this Bug and looking at this balloon. And that one song kept coming on the radio. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I remember
Steve
that
Miller
song.
Man, yeah.
And I remember we stopped at had to be Arizona, but it was like some Grand Canyon looking thing. Because I remember there was like a totem pole and some Native American stuff. And I was just like, that's my first memory. And it was just me and my mom. Just driving
back to Ohio.
Back. I didn't realize then, but we were leaving San Diego because my dad was like, yeah, kicked out of the Navy. I was like, yeah, I'm going to Ohio.
Do you know why he got kicked out? You ever find out?
I found out later.
What did he
say? Some black guys were saying they're going to kill him.
Oh, really?
Beat his ass. That was a different time. That was before cell phones and stuff. So the ship was like, we got to get him off the ship. Something might happen. So I don't know what happened back then.
Black dudes that were in the Navy. Not just some guys out in the
Navy. No. Because he was over in the Philippines. So there's not a doubt in my mind I got brothers and sisters over there. There's got to be some guy killing karaoke, cracking people up.
Greg Owens over there, bro.
There might be a Greg Pacquiao. Greg, hey, we got Greg Pacquiao on the mic right now.
From the Philippines.
Bring it down. Bring it down.
Journey and shit.
Fine, oh, keeps on pipping, pipping, pipping. Been to the pooper.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right, so that's dad. Mom takes you back to Ohio, and that's what there? Is that the trail? Is that where the trailer park starts?
We moved to the trailer park when I was 10.
So are you going back with dad for a minute when you get back to Ohio?
No, I don't ever remember living with him. So he'd show up every now and then. Not every weekend, but he'd pop up every now and then. And then it was just me and my mom. And then she started dating this, who ended up being my stepdad, who's still the guy she's married to this day. She started dating him around 3 or 4 years old. And then
at this time, still, she's like 21 still.
Yeah,
she's
a
baby. Well, he went to jail.
He went to jail. And rehab.
What'd he go to jail for?
I don't know. I have no idea. And then he went to jail and he was gone. And then he came back and then he went back to jail. Well, I remember, they got married. She was pregnant with my sister Ashley. She had Dallas. So this is probably 82, 83. Because I remember we went to visit him in jail. And then he got out. So I can't remember the first time I went to jail. I can't remember why. But I remember they broke up. Here's a crazy story. They broke up and she started dating this new guy, Billy. Billy was cool. He was redneck though. But my stepdad broke into the apartment and beat the shit out of Billy one night. He was laying in bed with my mom.
Are you there?
I'm on the couch. I slept on the couch.
So you see him come by.
No, I don't know. I'm asleep.
Oh, okay.
I just remember my mom woke me up in her nightie and she goes, "We gotta go. We gotta go." And I heard a ooh. And I'm like, so she takes me to her friend's apartment. And I thought it was great because I had to go to school for the week. I'm like in first grade, yeah. Something like that. Kindergarten or first. And I remember we went back to the apartment a couple of days later. And I just remember there was a mop bucket and it was red. There was definitely blood-soaked water in the mop bucket. And then the fridge had a dent and there was a hole in the wall.
Oh,
and
shit.
We never saw Billy again. I would be gone. You're asleep with a woman and some dude starts pummeling you?
Yeah.
I'm like, my mom.
I think about that all the time. It doesn't matter if you're The Rock. It doesn't matter if you're John Bones Jones. If you're asleep, motherfucker puts one in your neck, it's over. It doesn't matter how badass you are.
But I also wonder, my mom's pussy must have been amazing.
It must have been, bro.
That's some fire puss.
That looked like a, I'm thinking that's a bullet hole.
Yo,
that is definitely.
My mom, I don't know, sucks starting Harleys, I guess. I don't know what's going on there. But she.
Your dad told her she wasn't a hoe, but she has fire pussy. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it was, that backseat fire pussy.
Yeah.
Baby maker. She's,
yeah, so then. Yeah,
so
then
now
we didn't see.
There's three of you now at this point.
Well,
right?
When he got beat up, when Billy got beat up, there was nobody there. And then he just went away, and I didn't see him for a year or so. And this is how I remember my stepdad came back in my life. We had moved. Now we're living in a different apartment, and my mom goes, because he had a daughter. I really liked my sister Michelle. His daughter. She goes, "Hey, I got some old friends coming over today." And I was like, "Who?" And he was like, she was like, "Rod and Michelle." And I was thinking, fuck, Rod's coming back? So then I remember I never saw Michelle. I didn't see Rod that day. But the next morning, I'm downstairs eating cereal, watching like The Great Space Coaster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I watched The Great Space Coaster. And Rod came walking down in a robe. And I went, oh, he stayed all night. Now you look back, he definitely fucked my mom that night. But I was like, and he never
left. In a robe, too. The audacity.
In a robe. The audacity. Yeah. Fixing it when it comes down.
Fixing it, you motherfucker.
Seeing like residue here. My God.
Post-gum.
Never left, bro.
Rod's his name, too.
Rod. I still don't like Rodney. I would have did it if your name was Rod Stickler. Or Sickler. I would have been like, I did on purpose. Hey, you want to do Rodney Sickler's podcast? I'm good.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I mean, that PTSD. Yeah, you never left there for that.
That was it. And they're today. Still married today, huh?
Still together.
Okay.
He still ain't had a job.
Now, why also, and I'm not, no shade or anything here, trailer parks and all this stuff, was there addiction in the family? Or is this just, were they just young and had a baby and they're low income and trying to work their way up? Because
I don't think
they're still only in their 20s at this point.
Yeah, my mom, I don't think ever did anything. Rod and my dad, I think they did everything known to man.
Yeah.
There's the time too, late 70s, 80s, you know, they went hard. My dad's the one that has told me now, like, he definitely went hard. I found out later Rod definitely was doing drugs in those days. Yeah.
Dealing and shit? Is that why he's in and out of jail and stuff?
I don't know. He was quick to fight, though. I'm sure it's bar fights. And that's the problem. When you got an asshole stepdad that is abusive, you tell your kids at school and they'll tell you shit. I go, no. He can fight. That's what made it worse. Yeah. I was like, no.
He's good.
I can't talk back.
Yeah, right.
In the movie, you stand up to your stepdad and you fuck him up one day.
Yeah, he's going Marvin Gaye your ass. He will
that
Marvin Gaye your ass. Yeah.
I've seen him knock numerous dudes out.
You've seen it?
Oh.
Tell me.
No problem.
What do you
either.
Mean? Why? What are you seeing? Like, he fighting over parking spots and shit? Or like,
I see, it's crazy. The one hitter quitter I saw. I was like, whoa.
Is he just like 0 to 1,000? Like,
immediately.
Yeah.
Over nothing.
Right.
So. My grandfather was a pipe fitter, and they used to do this thing every summer in Cincinnati called the Pipe Fitters Picnic. And they rent out this amusement park, and everything was free. It was better than Christmas to be 11 and 12 years old going there, because there was a lot of different girls there as the dude. There was rides. Can you imagine going to a music park and everything's there?
No, the it's free. The soda. All you can eat. The popcorn.
I used to kill the chocolate
candy.
Milk.
Yeah.
Not smart in July.
No.
You know? But it was
summer,
so good.
That's a summer Christmas.
The sodas are just lined up. And I'm just like, it was the best. One year they decided to have an arm wrestling contest here, right? So all these guys are arm wrestling. And there was a group of black people that were winning, right?
Mm-hmm.
They kept winning the early rounds. But then as you kept going, then these white boys started to win a little bit, right? And
real quick, not to interrupt. Sorry, people are going to yell at me. Rod, give me a physical description. Is he a big dude? Is he like a little Tasmanian devil?
No,
like,
he's probably about, he's average, about 5'9", 5'10".
He just got fire in
probably him. Probably about 170, 180.
Okay, all right, average.
Kind of
yeah.
Look.
Is he strong, though?
Strong guy, yeah. He had some arms on him. Kind of looks like, who would be a good example of what Rod?
Little Bruce Willis?
No. Jeff Bridges.
Okay.
With a beard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right.
That type of look.
Okay.
So to speak. Jeff Bridges, right? That was the dude in the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, Big Lebowski.
But now he's in the old man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that guy. That's when I see him on screen, I'm like, if they ever did this life story of my stepdad, he could play him.
Okay.
But anyways, this thing called the Pipe Fitters Picnic. And the black guys win all the early rounds, right? And then they started to lose a little bit. And I don't know what happened, but this white dude beat the black in the arm wrestling contest, and the referee was like, we're going to do it over. And like a couple white people was like, that's bullshit. You would have did that if that was a white person that lost. And it got real tense real quick. Long story short.
At the Pipe Fitter.
At the Pipe Fitter's Picnic. And then this whole big fight starts, but it's white people versus black people, but it's only adults. So I'm probably 14. All the kids, women, and children went underneath where all the picnic tables were and it's covered.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the black women, all the white women, all the kids were still like, stop. None of the women fought. It was all these dudes. And I saw this brother. He had a white tank top and blue biker shorts, right? And a jerry curl. Telling the age. He pushed Rod or something from behind, and Rod didn't even look. Rod just went kapank, and I just saw that brother's shoes go boom, and I went, oh shit. So when everything calmed down, this dude's laid out.
Ow.
And then he's got two women walking him out. They're walking when the dust settled.
The pipe fitters.
Yeah, pipe fitters picnic, baby. Plumbers get it in. They're walking him out. And he's got these two, and he's looking at him, he goes, I just got knocked out. I never got knocked out. Who knocked me out? Like, I was just like, ooh, I'm not talking back to him.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. The Pipe Fitter's Picnic.
Pipe Fitter's
that
Picnic, baby.
Went down, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, man.
So they never did the arm wrestling contest again.
Bet. After that. Yeah, that was over. Yeah.
And you know what's cool about that story? I've shared that story in Cincinnati a couple times, just on stage, reminiscing. So looking back on it, it sounds like, and it was a racial thing, right? And I've told that story numerous times, and there's been at least three or four black guys that were there.
Nah, come on.
That have come to my shows go, yo, dog, we remember that shit. And now we're laughing about it and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll never forget. They'd be coming up like, man, we were there. Remember that? We was on the highway and we lined our cars up. I go, yeah.
Because cops came in. Really?
Cops came in and pepper sprayed everybody.
How many people was going at it, you think?
Oh, 100.
That's a lot. I mean, listen, 100 people fighting is a lot of fucking people. A
lot of people, yeah. It was all over an arm wrestling contest that they let the black guy get a second chance, basically. And it just took one or two people to be like, you wouldn't do that shit if it was fine. And then it took the of course, the black people, man, shut the fuck up. And then the dude, hey, don't talk to my girl like that. And it just, it went, when I say it was 30
what's my mom
seconds.
Got to do with this?
Yeah. It was 0 to 100. I go, whoa, this is arm wrestling. And like first prize was like a gift card to Kroger.
It's not just regular people either. This
it's
is
the
all
company. Yeah.
You got to go see them tomorrow.
I'm like, what is going on right now?
You got to work together on Monday, y'all.
There was a $1 million grand prize. Your free spark plugs from Best Buy and shit. It's so stupid. That's the first time I see him just knocks him out with a one-hander quitter.
You ever see him get fucked up? You ever see somebody knock? Never. You never seen him take an L.
Never saw him take an L. And
it's impressive, actually. Yeah. If you're fighting.
Yeah. Well, what I found out later about his life is he hit puberty early. So I guess he was like a grown man at like 14. He's one of those dudes. He would go to downtown Cincinnati and fight in those street fights for money.
Have you
seen Hard Times with Charles Bronson?
Yeah, it's a great
fucking movie.
Yep.
Where he's street fighting. That's what he used to do in Cincinnati, but nobody knew he was like 14, 15 years old.
Like old school Any Which Way But Loose.
Like that. Like they find somewhere, there'd be money bet. And
just go bare knuckle in the streets.
And then,
damn.
I'm saying, what could possibly go wrong with your life at 15 years old if you're doing that? Like, you're definitely going to be solid. Like, the older I get, you know what I mean? Like, he was just an asshole to me. Very abusive. Just everything you want to think a nightmare stepdad, he was that. But the older I get, the more empathy I have, because I'm like, dude, if he was that way to me, what was going on with him?
Yeah.
So what I figured out.
We're the I love you dad generation.
For sure.
You know, us. Also, they're, you know, they come from World War II parents.
I was going to say.
A lot of them are Vietnam era. And
his
they're
dad.
Like, we're like, I want to go dance.
And
what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. We found out, talking to various family members on his side, he was an asshole. His family was amazing to me. His brothers, his grandma was my favorite. His mom was my favorite grandmother. My fucking grandma Randall? Shut up. She was the best. His brothers were cool.
He was just a dick.
Well, here's the thing. He was the oldest. Mm. They had him, just like you said, his dad got back from World War II. It was just him and his mom, and then Rod was born. And from what I take, the attention went away from his dad now. And his dad his ship got sunk in World War II.
Oh, shit.
It was one of those, like, he saw his boys die.
Yeah.
So he comes back. You know, back then there wasn't no therapy. There wasn't no dealing with that shit. You just went off on people. And I heard his dad was a type would fight a drop of a dime. They said if they went to high school games, they hated it because if anybody wasn't standing or talking to the national anthem, he would snap.
One of those guys,
like,
I'll
beat the fuck out of you. You better take that. Because he's looking at it like, fucking Jimmy and Johnny died for this shit. Yeah,
for real.
Oh, fuck if you don't put that motherfucking Chico stick down.
Yeah.
So I kind of have empathy. A little empathy now, because you got to think, when somebody's like that, like, go back to when you're like 3 years old. What happened? Where'd it go wrong at some point? You know, so I'm not as vindictive as it was.
What's the age difference between Rod and your mom? Was he also young?
He was older, but only like
a couple years.
Yeah, 3 year difference.
So we're still talking about, all these sounds like the parents in your life are all in their 20s.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Kids. I mean, that's young for to be parents. It is.
Think about it.
The Honeydew is brought to you by BetterHelp. Mental health awareness is growing, but there's still progress to be made. 26% of Americans who participated in a recent survey say they have avoided seeking mental health support due to fear of judgment. When people hesitate to get help, it doesn't just affect them. It impacts families, workplaces, and sometimes entire communities. This Mental Health Awareness Month, let's encourage everyone to take care of their well-being and break the stigma, because the world is better when people are healthy and happy. Look, I will say something personal here. My daughter has a fear of needles and blood. It's a big deal for her. And she came to us and she's like, I want to talk to a therapist about this. Went on BetterHelp. This is a true story. And she has now been talking to a therapist who we all like a lot about her fear of needles and blood. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching people with the right therapist. From their diverse network of more than 30,000 licensed therapists with a range of specialties, BetterHelp is fully online, making therapy affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide. And you can easily switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. We're all better with help. Visit betterhelp.com/honeydew to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/honeydew. Smart money moves are all about getting more out of every dollar. With Rocket Money, you can easily find forgotten subscriptions and have them negotiate bills for you, putting money back in your pocket. With all those savings, Rocket Money practically pays for itself. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money's dashboard gives you a clear view of your expenses across all of your accounts so you can do things like easily create a personalized budget. You can get alerts when a bill increases, or you can use the new goals feature to help you pay off bills and start building your savings. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate to lower bills for you. They automatically scan your bills to find opportunities to save, and then you can ask them to negotiate for you. They'll deal with customer service so you don't have to. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when they use all the app's premium features. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/honeydew today. That's rocketmoney.com/honeydew. rocketmoney.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew. Okay, so you're living with mom the whole time. You never see dad pops in when he wants to pop in.
Yeah.
And you're living in a trailer park in where?
Oxford, Ohio.
Oxford, Ohio. Mm. And what's life like? What's school like? Are you involved in sports? Like, what are you doing?
I played every sport possible.
You did.
Just to not be home.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where my junior year of wrestling, I was 3-30. I won 3 times and lost 30.
Wait, I had to hear it again in my head. I was like, damn.
No.
It was.
I was so bad.
3-30. But you'd rather get your ass whooped on the mat.
Yeah. No.
There's a referee and a whistle.
When you get your ass whooped on the mat, you have complete control. Like, I used to tell guys, like, just let it happen. I'm going to pin myself. I go, let this happen. Just go with it. And sometimes I'd be looking at guys like, dude, I'm trying to help you here. Tell your mom, get the camera out. Yeah. This is a good shot.
Yeah.
I was the guy whenever
I'm going to give you some back points.
Time another team had like a disabled kid or a special needs kid, I'm the one.
You would?
Dude, I know how to fucking make people look good.
Oh, man.
I used to make a joke like, there's not a high school gymnasium in Cincinnati, Ohio. You show me the ceiling, I'll tell you what school it is. I saw them all, baby. Saw them all.
3-30. Who were the guys you beat, dude? What happened to them? Who were the three?
Like, beat the same guy 3 times.
Nah, dude. Come on.
I swear to God.
So really.
Name is Nathan Eby, went to Edgewood High School in Trenton, Ohio.
He wouldn't take one, huh? He was that bad.
So here's how I beat him. My mom had never come one time to see me wrestle. I've been wrestling 3 years at this point. She's never been to a match, nothing. She says, I'm coming to see you tomorrow. I go, what? No, I'm sorry. She says, I'm coming this week to go see you. So I'm like, what? So she tells me on like Monday and the match is Friday. All week, I'm looking at my coaches. I'm looking at the guys. I go, guys, I know I suck. I got to learn one move. And I'm just going to work on the one move. I can't. My brain doesn't work like this. I'm not here on this earth to be a wrestler. Give me one move. All week, we worked on this move, the head and arm, they call it, right? And so that's all I did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday comes. We go the weigh-ins. He's not very intimidating. I go, fuck yeah. Because sometimes you get those muscle-bound dudes or dudes with hair on their legs. Like, I'm wrestling a man.
We had a dude one time took teeth out. And another time a dude just snatched his necklace off. He purposely got it. It was like going like this. He just went like this. And it went.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
that wasn't Nathan
Eby. I've seen a couple of those. Like, that guy took teeth out.
Yeah. No, this wasn't Eby.
High school.
When I saw him, I go, this might work. This motherfucker, this my plan might come to fruition. So we get out there. I see my mom. She's in the stands. And my whole team's in on it. They're looking at her, too. I don't think anybody's ever seen my mom. So they're looking. we go to shake hands. This fucking guy, Nathan Eby, he tries to do a head and arm on me. And I go, bitch, that's my move.
He's been doing the
He like immediately went for it. I go, whoa. So took a minute. I got him in it.
Boom.
Pinned him. And I got up and I did like the gun shit. And all I know, my mom stood up and she goes, ow, my baby good. I was like, that makes me like 1 in 20 right now.
I was good today.
Yeah. And then I, you know, he's that school was in our league. So now here's what's funny. Now you go to, you know, the league championships. Mm-hmm. We had 8 teams and we had 8 schools in our league. I somehow got a bye the first round. So I'm already in the semis. How the hell Nathan Eby beat somebody else?
Nah.
I'm wrestling Nathan Eby now in the semis.
He's standing him, between you and the finals?
Hit him with the head and arm. I'm in the finals, baby.
Hell yeah.
I'm like 2 and 28. Wrestling for the MML championship. Mid-Miami League.
That's the worst record.
So, and then they posted on the little brackets. It looked like a misprint. Because everybody else got these amazing records.
They must fuck this up.
So,
you got to be 20.
I go out there. And I just remember this. Keep in mind, wrestling. Nobody goes to wrestling matches. You get to the league championship. That gym is packed. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I took pride in my wrestling because all I said was, I ain't getting pinned. I ain't getting pinned all these people. I ain't getting pinned. Motherfucker, I'm just trying to do shit. I was like, I don't know. My coaches are going, Alan, you got this, you got this. I go, I'll lose 10-1 before yep, I get pinned.
That's right.
So.
But you made it to the finals, dude. That's
finally,
a great
didn't
story,
get pinned.
Dude. That's great.
But
that's
I lost.
Great. Yeah, that's all right.
I got my medal. I kept that medal for years. I was like this.
Yeah, you some loophole right shit, and you did all right. You know what I mean? Fuck yeah.
Well.
Then, okay, so when do you get out? When do you leave home?
17, right after high school.
You do?
So
you graduate.
Graduate in June. I was in the Navy in July.
Oh, you went right to the Navy.
Yeah. I turned 18 in boot camp.
Did you know you were going to do that before you did it, or were you like, nah?
No, it was. Here's how I ended up in the military. It was December of my senior year of high school, and one of my best friends to this day, his name's Mike Heideman, he had already joined the Navy. I don't know how they got in the trailer Saturday morning, but he's standing over my bed, and he goes, Gary, wake up, wake up. He goes, come on, man. Let me take you down to recruiting station. Because I guess when you join the Navy, once a month on Saturday morning, they have these things for recruits that are going in. Because mm-hmm. their big audience is seniors in high school. Mm-hmm. So you got all these seniors that like are going. I'm gonna.
They
once
used to
I graduate,
come to our school.
Yeah, they did too.
It would be in the lobby.
Yeah,
and
lunch
go
and
Air
shit.
Force. Yep. Yeah, and yeah, yeah.
They did that too. Mm-hmm. So he goes, I went down there, and it was a bunch of guys that were in high school that were going to the Navy when they graduated. And everybody was in the same building. So it was the Marines. They were all across the hall from each other. So I met with everybody that day. I went with the Marines. I met with the Army. I met with the Navy. And the Navy guy was most honest with me because Army guy, go back to wrestling. He goes, so you wrestle? I go, yeah. He goes, you know the Army has a wrestling team. He goes, if you join, you can get on the Army wrestling team and all you do is wrestle. And I was like, I'm 3 and 30, bro. I don't want to wrestle anymore. I just wrestled so I didn't
says
go home.
Here you went to the finals, though, man.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Marine guy, he.
Which
he
you did. Know is bullshit, by the way. You could have been 30 and 3 and UAS ain't just wrestling.
Yeah, that part.
You ain't just, you're wrestling with the decision you made to fucking believe this motherfucker. What are you doing, dude?
And the Marine guy just made it sound too hard. We're going to get up this morning. We're going to do this. I said, Nah,
we ain't.
I don't want to be the first one. I don't want to be first one anymore. I'd rather be second. Who's second? I don't want to be on the front line. Navy guy was just honest. He was like, I remember he came to the trailer thinking, dude, I can get you out of this. Like, I can definitely give you a better life than this. And then, so that's why I joined the Navy. It was pretty much, I was the easiest sell. But to this day, if Mike would have woke me up, I don't know what I was going to do. Because I didn't, nobody in my family went to college. So I didn't know nothing about take the ACT, SAT. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about that. So thank God he woke me up and I went with him. So I joined Navy at 17.
17. And it had nothing to do with the fact that your dad was in there or anything like that.
No.
Yeah.
Nothing. It was just, I mean, I think I'm third or fourth generation because my grand, both my grandpas were in the Navy. Mm-hmm. My dad was in the Navy.
My dad was in the Navy. His father was Air Force, though.
Oh, really?
In World War II, Air Force, which he died. I wish I could have asked him some shit. Like,
yeah, no
fuck
shit.
Y'all flying in World War II.
Yeah, you see those movies, you're like, yeah. What?
Like, I would have never even gotten, I'd take a picture outside that plane. That'd be
hell
it.
No.
Oh, fuck no. That Memphis Belle, that one more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck no.
It must be crazy. I ain't getting that plane. Or I used to get the top part and shoot and just get straight.
It's tight, too, yeah. You said your dad would show up at times. When would he do it? Like for birthdays or just random Sundays.
There was, you know,
would he take you to do? Would he take you somewhere to do something?
He'd come hang gliding.
What?
Hang gliding.
What do you mean?
You know what hang gliding is?
Yeah.
So he picked me up in his Toyota pickup and the hang glider be on top.
Hold on a second. Does it blow you away? Your father.
Yeah.
Does it blow you away that a man ignores his whole family and then he'll show up and he's already hang glide? Like, it takes a lot to get the glider and the equipment.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I never thought of it like that.
The time and effort. Like, you're not, you know what I mean? We're not just going horse riding to somebody else's ranch or something.
Yeah.
It's his shit.
Yeah. So this would made it worse. You got to walk to the top of the mountain and then you jump off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how am I getting down? I got to walk back down. What could go wrong in 8-year-old walking in the
together?
Woods?
No. You're not going with them? Nah, wait. You walk the hang glider up with your dad.
I gotta walk up the mountain, and he's got all his hang gliding buddies.
He's flying.
He jumps off. See you later, Gary. I gotta walk back down.
See you later, Gary. Nah, dude.
But.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
That is absurd.
But I.
How's that fun?
Let me tell you why I enjoyed it. Because I knew when we was done hang gliding, we was getting something to eat. And we got to go out to eat. So Burger King, Subway, McDonald's. That was a great fucking day, bro. And here's the best part. If it wasn't hang gliding, it was racquetball.
All right, before you tell me about racquetball, how many times is he going up the hill? Just a one and done? Or are you hiking that fucking thing up?
No, I think
times?
It's a one and done. These weren't short hills. And he'd be on that glider for an hour. Because I remember you go down and all the trucks are parked in a field. And I just sit on his tailgate like, and you're just waiting.
I'm just picturing this man who is avoiding his family by floating in the fucking air.
You know, like art imitating life. There's my son down there. I'm not doing nothing with him. God, that guy.
That's wild.
You look back, you don't know any better.
That's wild. Yeah.
Just don't know. Like,
I'm getting
Burger
King today, man.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, what could go wrong in the woods by myself?
Oh, God, that is hilarious.
At 8.
That is absurd. What else? Any good time you ever have? Like, I know you said that was good because you're getting Burger King. Did you ever have a time where you went to a ball game or anything? Like, what made you such a sports fan?
I don't know. It was my age because I was like 6 or 7 the first time the Bengals went to the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 16. And
that was against the 49ers, yeah, right?
No, that was Kenny Anderson.
Kenny Anderson, yeah.
So the whole city, you know, at that point, your elementary school's got Bengals stuff over. It kind of takes you over.
Mm-hmm.
So the first football game I ever watched was Super Bowl 16, the Bengals and 49ers. And everybody, you know, you're watching it with like 40 people, all adults, and they're all rooting for the Bengals, so you just kind of get caught up. And I lived there. So that was my team. I never watched them any game before that. It was Super Bowl 16 was the first NFL game I watched. And I go, then they never left me. And that was it. After that.
What were you good at? What sports were you good at? What were you like, I'm fucking good? Wrestling, obviously.
No.
Nah.
Football was average. It's crazy. The best sport I was the discus.
Disc, okay, you track and field shit, yeah.
So my senior year, I just didn't want to be home. So I was like, I didn't like the baseball coach because I played baseball at that point. I go, just going to run track. So I go over to the track team, and first round of the bat, we're running like 8 times around the track. I go, okay, this ain't going to work out. What else we got? I looked up on the field, and there's somebody doing a shot put. I go, I'm a little small, but I'll go up there. And they was like, all right, we only got one shot putter. And they go, we ain't got nobody throwing the disc. I go, I'll throw a disc. I ended up being pretty good at it.
Yeah.
After that. So I was like, oh. But I just remember that was a big man sport and I wasn't that big. So every time you go to track meets, it was all the guys that were like linemen.
Yeah.
When you play
bulky,
high school football.
Yeah, the big
and I'm
bulky.
Here I come in all wiry. But I wasn't too bad at it. That was probably, honestly, that was my best sport.
Let's go back now real quick. Racquetball. You were starting to say next was racquetball.
So you used to always say, if it was in a hang glider, I'd see that racquetball in the back seat. I'd be like, oh, fuck. We're going to racquetball courts.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
So he would play racquetball all day. And hold on, wouldn't leave me any money though. I couldn't eat.
Where are you going? Just these sitting there watching courts through the glass, just outside. Yeah, remember, no but cell phones.
The one had a bar and they had a little TV. So good thing is he picked me up on Sunday. So football season was great because I could just watch whatever game's on. And then there's a couple instances in my life where I had just guys just looked out. They see this little kid sitting there. So this one guy, you weren't supposed to be at the bar, but this one guy, he had to be like probably mid-20s. He goes, hey, just sit here at the end. So he'd sit at the end, and the motherfucker would just give me a Pepsi, throw me a burger, and I wouldn't have to pay for it, you know? That guy was the best, you know what I mean? And then he'd sit there, and nobody'd be coming. He'd talk to games. You know, I remember him going like, this guy, he's wild. He's talking about Mark Gastineau.
Yeah,
he goes, man, this man's a Saxon quarterback, and he starts dancing. Watch his shit. And it was like the next play, I go, fuck, do you know that? You know what I mean? But he was cool. So I always like, whenever I saw him at the bar, I go, this is going to be a good day. But when he wasn't working, I was like, fuck, this guy's going to make me pay. So I was just kind of sitting there all day, though. So that was my childhood with my dad, racquetball. Hand gliding every now and then.
Oh, did you ever go? Okay, go ahead. I don't want to stop. I want to know if you ever went. Okay, but do that.
I got to go
back. All right.
My stepdad tried to fight my real dad.
Oh, he did.
So this is such a fucking interesting story. I wake up. My stepdad goes, hey, next time Owen's called, let me know. He never called my dad by his name. He called him Owen. So I go, what happened? So I knew something was up. My mom tells me, your dad called last night and cussed Rod out. And I went, why? Well, here's what happened. My grandpa, this is for cell phones. This is when you write people's numbers down next to the fridge. Mm-hmm. My grandpa put Gary Jr., Gary Sr., because I'm named after my dad. Mm-hmm. My grandpa thought he was calling my dad, but he called the trailer park, right? Called my stepdad. My stepdad answered the phone, goes, hello? And my grandpa goes, I speak to Gary. And my stepdad goes, it's kind of late to be calling, isn't it? And my grandpa goes, who the fuck are you? Put my son on the phone. And so my stepdad goes, what? So they're cussing each other out and they hang up. They don't realize this was my grandpa thought he was calling my dad, but my grandpa called us.
God.
So now my stepdad thinks my dad called and cussed him out. So he's telling me, like,
I see. He thinks it was your dad.
Yeah, he thinks my dad called me and now cussed him out. Yeah. He's like, next time he calls, let me know. A couple weeks later, my dad finally calls. It's a Sunday. He goes, can I come get you? Like, yo, I said, yeah. So usually he'll call like 9 in the morning. He'll come about 12. And I have this big bay window in front of the trailer. So I'm looking out the window. I'm like, fuck, please don't show up. Please don't show up. Because there was times he wouldn't show up. I saw that Toyota truck coming down the road. I go, fuck. And Rod goes, go in the back. So I go in the back of the trailer. And I thought he was about to beat my dad's ass, right? Because all I heard was the screen door popped open. Motherfucker, he'll call me and cuss me out. Rod comes walking in like 30 seconds later laughing. And I go, what happened? Because you can go now. I go in and my dad's in his truck. And he goes, what the fuck was that? Keep in mind, my dad is in his truck. He sees this wild man run out of the trailer. My dad went, boop, locked the door, rolled the window up. Right? So my dad cracked the window and was going, that was my dad. That was my dad that called. It wasn't me. So I guess they figured it out. But so now I'm with my dad all day, and all he's talking about is like, what the fuck? He was trying to fight me. It's so all about him, right? And then we spend the day together. And he just takes me back to the trailer and drops me off. And I remember thinking, when I got older, I go, if my son is living with a man that would run out of a trailer, keep in mind, not a house, wanted to fight, I go, I'm going to inquire about that man at that point. Yeah. I'm going to be like, is he always like this? Yeah. No, my dad was like, all right, Gary, see you in a couple weeks. Good luck with that crazy motherfucker.
Good luck with Rob.
Good luck with Rob, man. I got a racquetball invitational.
I'll be up in the air.
City championships next week. I'm hang gliding to Indy.
Did you ever get the hang glide?
No.
Come on, dude. You never got the hook up and go one time.
No, never one time. He would tell me too. He was like, I'm going to do it when you're nine. I'm going to do it. He never did it. This motherfucker hooked a woman to him one time.
What do you mean?
He would bring like his girlfriends, his hoes with him.
Never did.
Nah.
He never hooked you once.
I think I saw insertion at one point. You good? You in there? God.
Oh, shit, dude. Oh, man. Okay. All right. So you go to the Navy and you're in the Navy for how many years?
Six.
You do 6 years. Where? All in San Diego?
Mm-mm. No. First year's in D.C. I was in honor guard. So we were doing the parades, the funerals, the things you see on TV. Presidential honor guard. Because I was in boot camp, they said everyone with a 34-inch waist or under and over 6 feet tall come down the field house. Because everybody has to look the same in the honor guard, right? So I go down there. I was the perfect person. I was like 6'2". You know, I'm 17, 18 years old. I'm very skinny. So I sign up. I say, you know, I'd rather do that than what I was going to do in the Navy. Because they show this video and it just looks amazing, right?
What, were you going to be jet mechanic?
No, I was going to be a yeoman. I literally, when I joined the Navy, I said, I don't want to be outside. I don't deal with the heat that well. Air conditioning? He's like, oh, you want to be a yeoman? So I went and told my family. I go, yeah, I'm going to be the admiral's assistant. I put a lot on it. Yeah, I'll be the admiral's assistant. Wherever he goes, I'm right there. Just make sure everything's in order. So they tell me, like, yeah, you got in the honor guard. I was like, oh, I didn't realize when I was in boot camp, when I said, yeah, I want to do it, there was like 80 guys that said they wanted to do it. Four of us made it.
Oh.
Because they're going back doing background checks because you're on the White House lawn. You're literally this close to the president. You're not seeing them because you're looking straight ahead, but the motherfucker's right here. You know what I mean? I just remember
is that the rule? You're not, if you get caught looking, are you done?
Oh, you will never be back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, you're straight stone ahead.
Face, bro. Like some of our ceremonies when I was in the honor guard. Oh, what I was getting at was four of us made it. I didn't know they went back and did background checks on all of us. So they went and talked to the principal, find out if we had police records. They went to the damn mayor.
Gary, we talked to Rod.
Rod was probably a very short conversation. What?
Probably punched one of those motherfuckers. Yeah.
So, yeah, that'd be funny. I'm glad he didn't talk to him. That would have went wrong. But what was I getting?
You got signed off on?
Yeah, so I got in. I didn't realize they went and all did that. So I went
out of 80, you're one of the four.
One of the four.
Okay, and what's your job now? What do you do?
You get to D.C., and your first 2 months, you're in a thing called training platoon, where you're basically living in the attic of Independence Hall, which is the barracks. And you're right in D.C., and you just live in this attic, and they're just teaching you how to march, how to do your clothes. You know, you're just – because you got to be flawless, basically. So you just learn all that the first 2 months. You learn the commands.
Are you doing the rifle and all that
Well,
stuff?
Well, you do a little bit of everything, but then when you actually get in the honor guard, depending on your build and height, you're either a body bearer, which is guys that carry the caskets, your drill team, which is those are the ones that actually throw. Everyone carries the rifles and do basic moves, but the drill team is the one that are doing the wild shit. The
throwing it.
Yeah, they throw it to each other and stuff. And then you got the flag bearers. Those are more main the tall, lengthy guys. Because they're the ones carrying the flag. So once you get down there, they put you in different categories. The crazy part is, though, some of these ceremonies are in the summer, and you're outside, and it's hot.
Oh, yeah.
Guys be passing out.
D.C. is fucking humid as shit.
You know, guys will go down.
Well, they'll drop, huh?
Drop.
And you can't look either.
You can't do shit. I had one guy.
You can't help him.
Yo, right. I was standing there one time, and the dude, like, I felt him. Boom. He was on my shoulder. And I remember I was singing, I was trying to see. And I'll never forget, his name was Gerald Bright, black dude. I remember he was on my shoulder coming in, passed out. And he was looking at me with a blank stare, like got knocked out. He's like, so the whole time I'm going like this.
Wait, he was still holding up.
No, he was out, but he landed on my shoulder.
Saying, he's still leaning there. I'm like,
but I remember thinking, like, fall down. Fucking go. Because if you fall down, the guy come get you.
Yeah.
This is really what I'm doing.
On your shoulder.
And I'm going, I can see his eye. Is he dead? And then he just, they finally came and got him.
They did come get him, yeah.
But you hear like bushes shaking sometimes. You'd be standing there, you go, like, you just thinking somebody went down, yeah, baby. Yeah. Can't lock your knees,
bro. Who was
bro.
President when you were there?
I did the inauguration for Clinton.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So when I got there, it was the first Bush.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then right when I got there, Clinton was, well, he was already elected, but we got to do the inauguration.
Okay.
So we did the, we marched down Pennsylvania Avenue and we marched right by him. He's in a stanchion. Obviously there was like bulletproof glass in front of him, but it was Gore, him, their wives. And then I was in a perfect spot though, because if you're closest to him, you got to, your eyes stay forward. Everybody else does the eyes left to show the respect. And I was right in the second row. So when we went eyes left, I was on him. I was like, oh, okay. So it was cool. It was a very cool experience.
And was that your job the whole time in the Navy?
No, that was the first 2 years.
2 years.
And then I became a cop.
A cop?
In the Navy. Master what kind arms, of cop? They call it.
What is that?
Just regular cop, just on the base.
Oh, cop on the base?
Yeah.
Do you have jurisdiction off the base if you see shit? No.
You got no jurisdiction. You have to call whatever the local San Diego PD or Coronado PD.
Yeah.
But it was just what you think. I mean, it's gun. We had a gun. It was everything.
You ever have to arrest anybody?
Yeah, a couple arrests.
Yeah.
But the only thing the base doesn't have, we ain't got murders.
What are you getting? Like a lot of drunk driving and shit like that?
Just drunk driving, bar fights.
Yeah.
Guys trying to sneak in the girls' barracks.
Yeah.
Get that a lot. I used to let everybody go.
It sounds like college.
I used to tell the guys, like, you catch them. I'm like, dude, just get a fucking room, bro. Go off the base. You know? Because the guys be... Especially when guys give you a hard time, you're like, dude, I never wanted to arrest people. I'd be trying to talk sense into them. I'm like, dude, she ain't that fine. I heard that pussy stinks, bro. Like, I'm like, what? What? Yeah, I heard that motherfucker foul, bro. I did you a favor. All right. You think you're the first one to sneak in her room? Bro, I've been on patrol for 2 years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know? I remember I used to sneak, we had a daycare on the base. That was the best. I'd sneak in the daycare and crush that food in the fridge, though.
You getting that milk?
Oh, getting that milk, that little cereals. Milk, little cereals. I'm like this. Ooh, it's Burrito Tuesday. Because it's all laid out of the plastic. Care, yes. Bro, I stole so much food out of the daycare. Lunchables. They could have arrested me for that.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, hell yeah.
Because we had keys to every building, bro.
Yeah.
We could get in everywhere.
Oh, shit. That's
I would never steal you, but oh my God, I don't know. That daycare had the best food, bro. I'd be looking at them kids like, I don't know how good you got it here.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. We were talking briefly before you started recording, and we were talking about like how you go spend the night somewhere or something when you're a kid, or you go somewhere else and you realize that home isn't normal.
Yeah.
When did you start realizing like, oh, what's going on with Rod and trailer is not what's going on with my friends at school? Did you do sleepovers or did you ever have any at your place either?
Both. Mainly I'd sleep over other people's houses, but.
Do you have a favorite? Like, I'm going to go over here. It's Mrs. Williams is the shit. No.
The same guy that got me into the Navy, Mike Heineman. Dude, I got so comfortable because they lived like a block away from the high school. So 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, I'd walk over their house. It got to the point I just walk in. Like, it got to the point where they'd be like, where's the Frosted Flakes? I'd go, second shelf.
I moved
it's behind
them.
The pancake batter. It's right there. Like, I knew where shit was, bro. But that family took me in, bro. To this day, I'm so indebted to them. This is how much they meant to me. When his mom passed, I was in Richmond, Virginia. The funeral's in Cincinnati, Ohio. There's no, you know, that's a small airport. There's no directs. I said, what time's your funeral? And I was going to take the weekend off. Like, I got to go to Miss Heineman's funeral. And they was all telling me, no, Gary, she knows you loved her. You ain't got to show up. I said, nah, this is very personal for me. So I get done with the show. I guess it's like 11:30. Me and my feature drove to D.C. because that was the only direct flight that could get me to Cincinnati. So I was on the 6 a.m. flight. I got to Cincinnati at 8. The funeral was like at 10. And I stayed till about 2. And then I got back on a plane to get to D.C. I landed in D.C. at like 4. And then we drove back to Richmond, which is like 2 hours from Dulles. So the whole day was get off stage Friday night, drive to D.C. I remember got a Holiday Inn. I took like an hour nap. He stayed there all day. Shout out to my feature at the time. He just stayed and ran around town. And then he was there to pick me up when I landed at like 4. And then we drove back to Richmond and did the shows. But I mean, that's how much she meant to me. I was like, ain't no way. So I didn't have to cancel my shows, but I was able to still make the funeral. And I got like 4 hours at home with everybody. So it was cool. Yeah, that family, yeah, they probably meant more to me than anybody else.
Yeah.
When I ran away, I called Mike and was like, okay, here's funny when I ran away. It was the night the Bills played the Giants the first time in the Super Bowl when Scott Norwood missed that kick. So my dad picked me up to go watch the Super Bowl with him. So I got back to the trailer like midnight. I walk in the trailer and my stepdad was on one that night. He was just going off about something. And he told me to like do the dishes, vacuum the living room. This is all like 12:31 in the morning. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I remember I had to take the garbage out and we had a shed next to the trailer. And I took the garbage out and I looked at the trailer and I just went, fuck it. And I just started running, right? And you see those horror movies when they fall?
Yeah.
That shit's real.
But you trip
motherfucker. Right, I did the front roll. I look back. I go, that's why they fall. I can't imagine if Jason or Michael Myers was chasing me. I'd be dead.
It's over, bro.
Dude, no. I did a full, because I'm looking back like, are they going to come after me? And then I went to some other buddy of mine's trailer. And then I said, I walked in. I said, can I use your phone? And then he let me use his phone. I called Mike and literally I'm damn near crying on the phone. And I said, Mike. And he goes, Rod. And I go, yeah. I go, I just ran away. Can you meet me somewhere? So he told me where to meet him. So I ran in the woods. I'm hiding in the woods. And he pulled up on the street, flashed his lights, got in the car, took off. And so I went over stayed at his house for like a week. And I just remember I called my mom the next day at work.
Did she know that family and know where you were and shit?
I told her the next day because I went to school. I was wearing Mike's clothes. Everybody's calling me Gary Heineman at school because I'm wearing – this is when the overalls was in.
Yeah.
So I had the overalls and shit.
Like, one off.
And he had more money than me. So I was like, dude, I'm living life right now. I got the Z Cavaricis. I got the merry-go-round fucking hoodie and shit.
Yeah,
so – I called my mom. I said, Mom, I ran away. And she goes, yeah, I think I noticed. I think. Because you got me. I left in the middle of the night and they.
It's also a trailer, not a palatial mansion.
Yeah. So I said, I'm in school. Everything's fine. I'm staying at the Heinemann's. I said, Mom, it's January, right? I said, I'm leaving for the Navy in July. I said, dude. Can I just enjoy these last couple months? Because that's what made me run away. When he was telling me to do the dishes and he's telling me to clean the trailer, he said, you got to get a job. And I go, well, I don't have a car. He goes, I said, how am I going to get to work? He goes, I don't care. You got to get a job. He goes, I'm sick of you freeloading off your mom. And I was like, motherfucker, I was thinking to myself, you get a job. Because he ain't got a job either.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's unemployed.
Yeah.
So I'm just going, motherfucker, you get a job. And then I didn't say that, but I was like, oh, this is, I said, dude, and I told him, I said, I joined the Navy. I'm leaving in July. Can't I just enjoy my last couple months? And he was just like, nah, I was like, I finally had the balls run away because I felt like I had somewhere I was going to go. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to the Navy in July. So I finally had a place that could get me out of there. So that's really why I had the balls run away that night. And then it took like a week or two. I stayed at the Heinemann's. It was great. It was a great 2 weeks.
Right.
My mom showed up at a high school basketball game with my little brother, who was like 2 or 3 at the time. And everybody's like, your mom's here, man. You got to go home. And I go, no. And then my little brother kind of got me. he was like, yeah, where you at? And stuff like that. And I was like, fuck.
At the game, they're guilting you like this.
Yeah.
Not practice.
Nah. And then I went home that night, and I remember Rod never said he's sorry. All he did was, he goes, you good? And I was like, yeah. He goes, all right. That was it.
So we'll wrap up with this. What is your relationship like with your mom and Rod today?
I don't have one with either of them.
Either? Mm-hmm. You don't talk to your mom at all?
No.
No.
The thing, when my brother Dallas died of a heroin overdose. So when that happened, I did an article for BuzzFeed back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And the article was about how this white guy was one of the top grossing black comics in the country. How does that happen? That was what the article was about. Within this 8-page article that you can see, go to BuzzFeed.com and search it. It's on there. It's like 8 pages. There's a paragraph where I talked about my stepdad, because the guy was trying to get him on the phone and he wouldn't get on the phone. And I'm in the car with him. I go, he's an asshole, bro. He's an asshole. He put that in the article. And so in their world, that whole article was about me calling Rod an asshole.
Right. Yeah.
No, it was very quick, but I did call him an asshole. And so he's already on the fence, like tense with my mom and him. And then when my brother died, you kind of reconcile a little bit.
Now, is that your brother? Is that Rod's son?
Rod's son, okay. And my mom. Mom. Yeah. Right. He was the one I was closest with. Mm-hmm. He was cool. And when he died, you kind of reconcile a little bit. And then Rod called and tried to blame me for him dying. And I said, we're done.
Yeah, bro.
Because he said, you know, because Dallas had, he had overdosed probably 4 times before he actually overdosed and died, because there was fentanyl.
I was going to say, was heroin. Pills and all that shit, yeah.
He was a heroin addict, but it was laced with fentanyl. So
all of it was,
they yeah. was like, he went down like that. He didn't feel anything. So Rod called me, and I thought, I did this thing called Facing Addiction in D.C. I was going to speak, not as an addict, but as a family member, how it affects us. And I told him, I said, I threw an olive branch out there. I said, why don't you guys go with me? Could be good. I said, you'll see, there'll be other families that know what you're going through. Rod called me. I'll never get as long as that. I was in Des Moines, Iowa at the Funny Bone that weekend. I'm thinking he's going to, hey, I'm trying to get some information on this thing. He goes, man, I got to tell you, you better not be using his death to benefit your career. And I went, what? I was like, oh my God. And he said, you know, because I'm going to share a story with you, man. Dallas was doing fine. He was good. He was healthy. He was working. He goes, and then that article came out.
Nah.
Swear on everything. And he goes, and then everything was different after that. He tried to say, that BuzzFeed article.
That you call Rod an asshole.
That is what Dallas just went down yeah. after that.
I don't mean to laugh, nah. but that is laugh.
I was like, oh. God,
hold no. on.
God bless Rod for finding a way, though.
Because mm-hmm.
I kept thinking, they can't, but because I was the one that would put Dallas in rehab when he would overdose. I'm the one paying for it. So I'm like, the one son that never did drugs, me, never did anything, you're blaming me? I was like, oh, I say, this guy's amazing the way he can flip shit. And he did it. He figured out a way in his brain to flip it. When he called me, I go, oh, it's that point I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, you can still love him and forgive him, but you just can't be around him.
Yeah, I'd live and be well far away from me.
Yeah.
That's all.
Like,
go ahead, do your thing. Go be good.
Yeah, it's kind of like the,
what about
the masseuses and Justin Tucker. Like,
I appreciate them, you bringing that full circle.
I want them to have great massage life, just not with Justin.
Here's the thing, bro. You knew when Tucker saw it. The Ravens, in the history of the Ravens since 1996, have never drafted a kicker. He's an undrafted. Why would you? The Raiders going after Janikowski in round one. They never drafted a kicker. They drafted a kicker.
Yeah, I knew that. Right was on the wall.
And then
right
they
there.
Said, hey, we're going to leave it up to the NFL. They're doing their own investigation. Then they said, we're going to have to let you go. Guess what the NFL? Look, if they really are following suit, the NFL's got a bunch.
Yeah.
So it had to settle. But that's the last question I want to ask you. Well, I have two more. Your relationship with your dad, is he all floating in and out of your life at all?
That relationship went left. We lost touch for a couple years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we got back in touch. And he's kind of a user. Like, I was you know, I was on my way to, you know, I don't want to call me famous, but I'm doing my thing, right? I never seen anybody want to benefit off of it, right? Like, it was about him. And so every time we went out to eat, I'm paying. If he came to a show, he'd ask if I could fly him in. Can I get the hotel? Shit like that. I'll tell you, this is all I got to know.
Where is he?
He's in Cincinnati. This is all I got to know about my dad.
Wait, hold up. I'm sorry. He wants you to fly him in, like, if you're in fucking Dallas or something, and put him up and shit.
I got the endless amount of money. Well, I can just stay with you, right? I go, no. You're not staying in my room?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I can't Any jack off with you in the room.
Man asked me to stay in my room. Like, no.
It's not no slumber party.
No, bro. No.
This is all you got to know about my dad in a nutshell. I'm filming my special in Vegas, Mandalay Bay, 2011. I said, I fly him in. I put him up. Well, the casino gave me a bunch of rooms, right? I flew him in. I gave him one of the rooms, and it was a suite. And he had to leave his credit card for incidentals. There was a mix-up, and they end up charging his credit card for the room. And it was $1,100. So, which is two nights. That's a hell of a – that's $550 a night for him. That's a lot. So he kept calling me going, dude, they charged my credit card. I said, all right. I call over to Showtime. They apologize. We'll get a check written out. No problem. I said, Dad, they're going to take care of it. It's going to be a couple weeks, but you got it. I said, give me your address. Showtime writes a check for $1,000, right? He gets a check. He goes, yeah, I got the $1,000. He goes, but it's $1,100. And I go, all right. This dude would not leave me alone about that $100. I'm going.
For how long?
So hold on. He said, I need your manager's number. I go, I'm not giving you my manager's number for $100. And then he was like, I finally just told him, I said, Dad, take the L. I said, you went to Vegas for free.
Yeah.
You didn't pay for, she didn't pay for one meal, one drink, nothing. I said, $100, bro. Just take the L. You got the $1,000 back. I'm not about to, he wanted me to call Showtime.
No, it's not enough.
Showtime. I'm like, that's all you got to know about my dad. But our relationship ended 4 years ago. I came in town to Cincinnati. I went to a Reds game, and I got a suite, and I didn't invite him. I'm not obligated to invite you to everything I do. Mm-hmm. He found out, left me a voicemail, cussed me out, like, you don't respect me, da da da. And I called him back. I said, yo, this is over a Reds game? And he goes, yeah, man. And he's like going in, right? It just got real tense. And then we just start. I never cussed him at him in my life, but I snapped.
Really? You never did up until then?
Nah, never. I was very respectful to everybody.
Yeah.
Nah, dude, he said something to set me off, and I said, fuck you. Fuck your bitch-ass wife. Fuck your fucking family, homie. And hung up. And that was it.
That's it.
And then that ended it. Pretty much that ended the relationship right there.
Dude, I appreciate you doing this episode.
Yeah, this was awesome.
I fucking love talking to you, dude. And last question. Advice you'd give to 16-year-old Gary Owen. What are you telling 16-year-old Gary?
When you run away, don't look back.
That's just actually good
straight
advice.
Straight ahead, brother. Because that shit's real.
Yeah.
There was snow on the ground, and I was rolling.
Snow.
I was like, oh, there's something to these horror movies. You know, comedians always be like that. Man, especially black comedians. Man, white people always be violent. Yeah, yeah. Shit, I'm like this. Dude, you don't know. We get scared.
Please, one more time, promote everything you like.
Gary Owen No S is on mintcomedy.com right now.
What's your socials?
At Gary Owen Comedy. That's pretty much all of them.
And catch you on tour. You're out there on the road?
Every week. GaryOwen.live is my website. That's got all my dates on.
Thank you for doing this, for real.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah,
thank
you. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.